You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome to The Encouragers with Minister Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, bringing words of encouragement for everyday life.
Our Father, who art in heaven, omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent, everywhere at the same time, omniscient, all-knowledgeable. Please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is My God. Scripture reading is Psalm 95, 1 through 11, which states, Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, It is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest. My text is Psalm 95:3, which states, For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The psalmist in the 95th Psalm is full of excitement. His words indicate that he is on fire for God. He encouraged others to join him. He is so full of excitement until he does not give a reason at first for praising God. Later, he gives a reason. Have you ever thought about how good God is to you? And before you could let others know why you're praising him, you just start thanking God. Whenever we come into God's presence, we must come with thanksgiving. The Lord is to be praised. How great is that God, whose the whole earth is and the fullness thereof, who directs and disposes of all. The Lord Jesus, whom we are here taught to praise, is a great God. The mighty God is one of his titles, and God over all, blessed forevermore. To him all power is given, both in heaven and earth. He is our God, and we should praise him. He is our Savior and the author of our blessedness. The gospel church is his flock. Christ is the great and good shepherd of believers. He sought them when lost and brought them to his fold. The psalmist sees the awesome power of the God he is serving. God is above everything known to man. God is all powerful. No king on earth can match his power. With humble reverence and a holy awe of him, let us worship and bow down and kneel before him, as become those who know what an infinite distance there is between us and God, and how much we are in danger of his wrath and in need of his mercy. Though bodily exercise alone profits little, yet certainly it is our duty to glorify God with our bodies by the outward expressions of reverence, seriousness, and humility in the duties of religious worship. We must praise God with our voice, We must speak forth, sing forth his praises out of the abundance of a heart, filled with love and joy and thankfulness. Sing to the Lord. Make a noise, a joyful noise to him, with psalms, as those who are ourselves much affected with his greatness and goodness. Our Father, to own ourselves, so are desirous to be more and more affected therewith, and would willingly be instrumental to kindle and set on fire the same reverence for God and devotion in others also. We must praise God in concert, in the solemn assemblies. Come, let us sing. Let us join in singing to the Lord. Not others without me, nor I alone, but others with me. Let us come together before his presence in the courts of his house, where his people are accustomed to take attention and to expect his manifestations of himself. Whenever we come into God's presence, we must come with thanksgiving that we are admitted to such a favor. And whenever we have thanks to give, we must come before God's presence, set ourselves before him, and present ourselves to him in the direction which he has appointed. Because he is our God, he not only has a dominion over us as he has over all the creatures, but stands in special relation to us. He is our God, and therefore it is expected we should praise him. What else did he make us for but that we should be for him for a name and a praise? He is our creator, the author of our being. We must kneel before the Lord our maker. Idolaters kneel before gods, which they themselves made. We kneel before a God who made us and all the world, and who is therefore our rightful owner. For his we are, and not our own. He is our Savior and the author of our blessedness. He is here called the rock of our salvation, not only the founder, but the very foundation of that work of wonder on whom it is built. That rock is Christ. To him, therefore, we must sing our songs of praises, to him that sits upon the throne and to the Lamb. We are therefore his under all possible obligations. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. All the children of God are so. They are fed and led by his providence, which cares for them and conducts them as the shepherd of sheep. We must praise him, not only because he made us, but because he preserves and maintains us, and our breath and ways are in his hand. All the church's children are in a special manner so. Israel are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand, and therefore he demands their tribute in a special manner. The gospel church is his flock. Christ is the great and good shepherd of it. We as Christians are led by his hand into the green pastures. By him we are protected and well provided for. To his honor and service, we are entirely devoted as a peculiar people. And therefore to him must be glory in the churches throughout all ages. God is described as creating everything on earth. Everything is under his control, including the hills and the sea. God created the land. He is described as our maker. Dear Heavenly Father, you know about the massacres of the innocent in Buffalo, in Laguna Woods, and in Uvalde. Please help us to get these killings under control. Guide us as a country to trust and obey you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. After knowing who God is, the psalmist encouraged others to worship God. We, his people, must pay attention to his voice. Since worship includes the priest reading and expounding the scripture, the worshipers will hear his voice. And in the rest of the psalm, the congregation reminds itself that they must take it to heart, believing and obeying their great king. The psalmist is basically saying, turn to God. Do not be like Israel. Israel had a chance to go to the promised land, but they rebelled against God. For 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. Those that rebelled against God died in the wilderness. God always offers life and the best choices. Today we can follow God or die in our sins. Salvation is available right now. If we do not accept God, you could die in your sins. There is life in following God. He is the source of our joy. The psalmist accepted God and found joy in Psalms by just thinking about the God he is serving. He watches over me. He guides me along life's way. He gives me peace. He gives me joy. He gives me love. I am going to serve him. He gives me comfort when I am down and out. He revives my spirit. He lifts my heavy burdens. He picks me up and gives me a new start. He is my friend when I am lonely. He is good to me. I get happy when I think of the goodness of God and what he has done for me. He loves me in spite of my ways. He is my God. Why not make him your God? Jesus died a painful death on the cross at Calvary so that our sins may be forgiven and we can have eternal life. Therefore, accept him as your Lord and Savior and live for him. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. There is the saving power of the Holy Spirit. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of a living God, and are willing to confess your sins to God and ask for forgiveness, God will forgive you. If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is overcoming fear. Fear is big business in the 21st century. Whether we turn on the evening news, listen to the radio on the way to work, or watch people overtake the Capitol, we are bombarded by messages that are intended to induce fear, anxiety, apprehension, and hopelessness. We are reminded time and time again that the world is a dangerous, unpredictable place. So it's no surprise that you will sometimes experience fear. The seven most common fears are fear of criticism, fear of poverty, fear of death, fear of failure, fear of offending others, fear of looking foolish, and fear of success. What are you afraid of? And more importantly, how can you overcome your fears? Well, here are a few ways to help you overcome. First, understand that fear is one of society's greatest commodities. Modern media constantly barrages you with fear-provoking, attention-grabbing headlines designed to capture your thoughts and redirect your life. Your task is to combat fear with faith and maintain a positive attitude. Isaiah 43:1 says, "Don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Second, study God's word and trust God's promises. Studying God's word is important because it is hard to trust what you do not know. God's promises give you faith, hope, and courage. When you are afraid, his promises will comfort you. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Third, guard your thoughts and your heart from the anxieties and distractions that might cause you to stray away from his path. When you encounter situations that make you afraid, turn your thoughts and prayers to God. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." And finally, love God and your neighbor. Now you may be thinking, what's love got to do with it? Well, John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment, so the one who is afraid is not perfected in love."